Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining in the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is MC Blair, right here on 94.7 WPVC, and the show is To Your Health. And I wanted to, I'm sitting here with Heidi Reed. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, so how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. I wanted to do a couple of things. I wanted to go over some an article that I was reading just the other day. And, you know, feel free to get your comments, and then we'll get on to what you're here for. Okay? All right. So, you know, kids are eating less whole grains and more sugary milk in school lunches this year, right? Because, of course, the rules had been relaxed, you know, due to our new administration. And I find that appalling. Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's like the agricultural secretary, Sonny Perdue, kind of interesting that they would take a big factory farmer and put him in charge of USDA. He said that healthier meals, they lead to picky eaters. So why would you do it, you know?
I would find the opposite, actually.
Yes, exactly.
More diversity in our agriculture is more diversity on the plate.
No, it's absolutely true. And then he said that it doesn't do any good to serve them healthy meals because they'll just throw them away. And in fact, they found out through recent studies that kids are eating more vegetables and taking in less saturated fat at school because of the Obama administration's regulations, cutting back on processed sugar, cutting back on extra salt and all that sort of thing, which is a good thing. And it says, though, that it costs more to feed them healthy meals, which isn't necessarily true, is it?
I would say that growing fresh vegetables in schools or in your local garden or in your backyard is probably way less expensive than buying processed
food. I agree. And I mean, well, I mean, we have programs like City Schoolyard Gardens right here.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
They are wonderful, and they're doing that. They're teaching the kids how to grow, and then, of course, they harvest it, and then they show them how to cook with it, you know, different recipes. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and the kids really take to that. And they said that, of course, a diet high in processed foods associated with higher likelihood of depression and anxiety. And, you know, when you have kids that are depressed or they're anxious, they don't know what's going on, how are they going to learn?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. And so it's increased risk for behavioral and emotional problems. Some research suggests making healthy diet changes can effectively prevent some depressive episodes, and that eating lots of fruits and vegetables and fish and whole grains can reduce a person's risk for depression overall, you know?
Yeah, getting outside in the garden or the forest and just putting your hands in the dirt and growing your own food. I mean, obviously, there's so many health benefits to that.
Well, it's true. And a little later in my two-minute drill, I talk about how kids can, or, you know, people can work together. And when you have, you know, kids working together with different skin colors, all of a sudden, they're saying, hey, this person isn't so bad after all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's also a lot of cultures around the world that come from different, you know, skin colors, as you say, or ethnicities that, you know, they're founded in being connected to their crops and their gardens and nature around them. And I think that when people as a whole move to different places and people perceive them as a different skin color, they don't necessarily think that they're, you know, going to know anything about gardening or about their nature. And it's actually in their roots. So,
no, it's true. Yeah. It's true. You know, I've always said we're all the same race, you know, human. just different color skins, you know, shapes. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into that. But in Canada, they said that in 2007, if children are to learn to prefer and select healthy foods, they need to early, positive, repeated experience with those foods.
Yes.
and that's true. And in your line, I'm sure you find that same thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I also wanted to say that there was a study that they found excess sugar was the cause of high cholesterol, refined sugar, triglycerides in the food, or triglycerides is fat in the blood, and that's caused increased triglycerides processed foods.
Well, I think, you know, everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. You know, processed foods do have a place in our diets, but like anything, you can't have a whole bunch of sugar. You need some fresh vegetables, and you know, you go back to that food pyramid of how much, you know, the portions that you're taught to eat and such, and it's obvious if you overdose on processed foods, you're going to have some issues arise.
No, it's true. And you know what happened was there was a study, a multinational study that took, oh gosh, about over 20-year period, and that's what they found, that refined sugar was the cause of high cholesterol.
Mm.
And the sugar industry got a hold of that report before they published it, and I guess paid them a bunch of money to say, no, it's fat. It's saturated fat is the culprit, not sugar, when the opposite is actually true. And that was about 50 years ago. The low-fat industry was born on that day. And a lot of the low-fat products, and I'm sure you're aware of it, a lot of the low-fat products require refined sugar. So not only did they not identify or publish the real culprit, which was refined sugar, but by blaming fat, they took saturated fat out of foods, which we need for healthy brains, and added more sugar, which made it high cholesterol. So here these people thought they were getting low cholesterol, you know, by cutting their fat out, and they were consuming more refined sugar, and of course their cholesterol went up. You know,
yeah.
What's wrong, you know?
Well, and I think that brings it back to you know, your whole grains and your whole foods. You know, if people aren't processing it, it contains so many elements within it just coming from the earth that,
yes,
you know, that we need in our bodies.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Things like peanut butter are great antioxidant properties.
Though,
are just so,
you know,
good.
I just had the worst experience in the grocery store the other day trying to find peanut butter without palm oil. So when you buy peanut butter, make sure that it's just peanuts. You know,
yeah,
they have tons of oil in them and they don't need palm oils.
No, it's true. That's why I like to go to some of the local places, and no matter where you are, if you're streaming this show on the internet and aren't in the local area, there's somewhere local that you can go and grind your own peanut butter.
Mm.
You know, I know Rebecca's one of our sponsors. They have that.
Yeah.
As well, so.
And, you know, peanuts are actually really easy to grow. We grow them on our farm.
Oh, really?
And,
oh,
you
cool.
know, it's fun to do with children as well. You know,
uh-huh.
It's something that they get to dig up in the soil.
Oh.
You know, peanuts actually grow underneath the earth.
Right.
You didn't know that?
Yes, I didn't know that.
And so, yeah, grow them and then dry them out and grind them up yourself. And then
now,
you know
you,
it's
do
pure.
Do you roast them, too?
I haven't, actually. Mm-hmm. I just, yeah, I dry them and then I grind them just raw. So
really, so what is that? What does that taste like?
It tastes a little different.
Yeah, since it's not roasted.
Yeah, but the drying process I do is in the sun. So I guess in a way,
okay,
the sun is kind of roasting it, but
sure,
it's not reaching temperature in the oven. So
yeah. Well, I would think you would, if you were going to roast them, you'd probably roast it low and slow.
Yeah,
you know, instead of high. But I'm sure they. They get some of that when you sun dry them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, I just want to introduce Heidi to all of you. She holds a bachelor's degree in international studies And because it's international studies, she's gone to Costa Rica, England, China, and India, as well as a bunch of other countries, I'm sure. She has a certificate in permaculture design, and she took a 36-hour course teaching permaculture to children from the Institute of Permaculture Education for Children. And you know, you became a new mom in 2013, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah, and what's her name?
Eloise.
Hey, Eloise. Hope you're listening. And but so what happened after that?
Well, you know, I live in a rural area, mm-hmm. and as a new mom, it's really easy to get stuck in your house. And even when there was nature all around me, I felt a little secluded. And mm-hmm. I tried to get out in my woods and in surrounding areas, but it was hard to do and hard to motivate myself. So I just decided that I was going to create a space and invite some friends. And it's become this playgroup now that... has been going on since 2013.
Oh my.
And so yeah, it just was a connection that I needed to mm-hmm. to other moms and to nature, and I found it in the woods.
Community involvement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's so important. I've always said on this show that community-based agriculture, not to be confused with community-supported agriculture,
yeah.
but community-based agriculture is, I think, is one of the keys to your health, because you're working, first off, getting your hands in the dirt, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
but with the community.
Yes.
And so that, you know, brings people together, and you have a...
Yeah. Yeah. Growing a garden is much like raising children, and it's really, really hard to do alone, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, it's more fun when there are other people there. That's yeah, definitely. And, of course, that's what City Schoolyard Gardens does as well. And they've been on the show a couple of times.
Oh, I've wonderful.
Really enjoyed having them on. And you said the have access to nature-centered events in a wilderness area.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody from town can come out there, right?
Yes. And so we have a monthly forest playgroup,
uh-huh.
second Friday of every month. And that's the best opportunity for someone that's just wanting to check it out and come out. And, yeah, it's for parents and their children, geared towards ages 1 and 6. But really, we're open for anybody. New moms that have under ones, or mm-hmm. even pregnant moms that don't have their child out in this world quite yet, are welcome to join us and just
yeah.
take in the healing effects of the forest and, you know, find community.
That's excellent. I mean, that is so. And somebody was asking me about it. Said, "Oh, so I can just drop my kids off?" I said, "No."
Well, we do have drop-off programs,
oh, really?
Actually. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So our forest it's for preschool age children, mm-hmm. and it's called Forest Buds,
oh,
and
okay.
it's an 8-week session that happens in the spring and the fall. So it's once a week for 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's Forest Buds, but mm-hmm. the playgroup. The mom or dad.
Yeah, the playgroup.
One of the parents has
yes.
to, or both have to be there.
The caregiver right. has to be with the
exactly,
child.
Exactly, right. Okay,
but, you know, it's not a have to. It's mm-hmm. a gets to, you know, because we invite the caregivers to take in the forest and take in the activities and find their inner child and get to play and reconnect
and that,
to nature.
That, yeah, that and, of course, that's a perfect, you know, you say quality time with your kids. That's quality time, folks. You
yes.
know, it really is. And it's not sitting in front of a television.
Well, there is a television. It's
oh.
called a campfire.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, of course.
It's quite entertaining.
Absolutely. You are so right. You're totally right. Or just watching kids run around.
Yeah, baby TV is
yeah.
what we call
baby
it.
TV,
just
yeah.
watching the little babies stand up using
yeah.
the stumps or, you
oh,
know.
Oh, man. I went to school at a private school. It's still there in Arlington, Virginia,
hmm.
and it was called Burgundy Farm Country Day School, and it was a working farm, and so each class took care of a certain animal, and then, of course, we'd plant and have the gardens and all that, and then we'd roam the forest, and one year we made a dugout canoe. you know, out in the forest where the fallen tree and, you know, get the coals from the fire and burn and scrape and scrape and all that, the way that the first Americans did it. And then, of course, we floated it in the swimming pool. And
How'd it do?
It had some leaks.
So, but it's an experience you'll never forget.
Absolutely.
You know, that connection with the tree that gave you the canoe and the fire that gave you the coals.
Yes. Yes. And so it was, I was very fortunate to have, you know, come up in that environment. And so anytime, folks, you can get your kids in the woods. It's just wonderful. And so One Forest, forgot to even do the name, but that's your baby, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So tell us about what is One Forest?
Well, you know, it came from that playgroup that I created with my friends. Mm-hmm. It was inspired by that and inspired by, you know, my permaculture training. And I just realized that there was this need for a space where it was out in the woods and people could come there and participate in programs that connected them with the forest and with the earth to, you know, connect or reconnect, you know, if they've lost their way with nature or themselves or with the community. And it's been really fun thus far. I feel like there's been a lot of great feedback. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, we had one of Heidi's people that went to this most recent playgroup, Heather. what's her last name again? Their horn or something. Anyway, she's a baker. We were eating some of her croissants, so that was kind of cool for that. She's down there at the winter market at the Ixarc Park. So that's important. I always try to get that plug in there for that. So what are some of the activities that these kids can do?
Well, the opportunities are endless, but we work with campfires, fire lighting, and teaching proper fire safety so they know how to take care of themselves in the forest. And we work with knives with preschool age children.
Okay, get them used to that,
Yeah, well, it's kind of something that's coming back around, I feel like, is just, you know, giving young children opportunities to know that they're trusted and to use their skills and to learn that a tool is a tool and not a weapon, which, you know, is an important lesson to learn young, I think.
Yes.
And if we give a knife to a teenager that hasn't been experienced with it as a tool, then, you know, it becomes a weapon sometimes.
Yeah.
So start them out with that young. And then we do nature crafts and you know, get to experience all the creativity that's inside these little beings.
Yes.
And let's see, we have a garden at the edge of our forest with a little bit of sunshine. Yeah. We also have some shade loving plants in our forest that we've planted, so they get to do garden related things.
That sounds great. Folks, you're listening to Your Health on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice, the voice of resistance, right here in Charlottesville. We're going to take a little break, but we shall return. Oh, we're back. This is MC Blair, and I'm talking to Heidi Reed of One Forest.
Hello.
Yeah. You guys are getting a forest farm started. I mean, you've already started it, right?
Yes.
And what do you have right now?
Well, right now, in the dead of winter.
Right now.
We
today.
Don't have much right
much,
now.
Right.
What about we do
the
have some dried flowers from what we planted over the summer. And we will have more cut flowers throughout the spring and summer and fall.
Good.
And then we will have fresh eggs as well from our chickens.
Good.
You know, right now, we're doing everything very slowly and small and working with the natural environment to make sure all the plantings we're doing are go align with what Mother Nature is actually doing there. So we are planting and planning for medicinal herbs and for mushrooms and more berry bushes and fruit trees and nut trees.
So, then those things do take, you know, a few years to, to come around, don't they? Yeah. And you just started it, and that's great. So for the future, what's the future of your forest farm? What do you see, say, 10 years from now?
10 years.
Yeah. I just threw that out there because that's enough time for these, a lot of things to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, just what I said, you know, just to be able to provide some medicinal herbs to local healers and to have some nuts and fruits and berries that could be pick your own or selling, you know, to local restaurants and such. And, you know, the most passionate part about growing food on my farm is, for me at least, is to have people come out and actually experience what it's like to grow or to harvest. So the programming is really important for me because there's not really a lot of chances to, you know, dig up peanuts or harvest, I don't know, pawpaws, you know, in their natural habitat, you know. So, yeah, it's really fun, and I'm looking forward to the future, it holds.
Well, it sounds good. It sounds awfully good. I'm so glad. You know, one of the things that I saw on your website was there's so many, forest playgroups, field playgroups are around the country, but most of them are not affordable for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and I realized that too. And so we've made our playgroup donation based so that it's free. And, you know, if you have something to give, of course, we appreciate it. But we want access to the outdoors to be open as possible. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, knocking down a financial barrier is one of the ways we help with that.
That is so good because it opens it up for the whole community, and that's important. Also, something just hit me. So if you say go to the playgroup and maybe do one of your programs, and then those kids could do their own, you know, go out into the forest anywhere, you know, as long, obviously you don't want to, you know, trespass on someone's property, but you go to the in the forest, and they wouldn't feel overwhelmed. They would feel at home.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that it goes to nature connection there, and you know, when they're in the woods, they're playing, but they're also we do adult initiated activities that kind of inspire connection if they choose to partake. And you know, one of the things I have done with preschool age children a lot is actually this exercise called Find a Tree, where they're blindfolded and led to a tree and then led away. And then you take off the blindfold and they have to find their tree again. And even with preschoolers, you can do this with adults as well, but even with preschoolers, they can go and find their tree, and it's really magical. And then, you know, with that, they have their own tree in the forest, and they figure out what kind of tree it is, and through books that we have there. And once they figure that out, then they're like, oh, and that's, you know, a tulip poplar too. And then they visit another forest, and they're like, oh, that's a tulip poplar. And did you know that tulip poplars are, you know, really great for making... you can make backpacks out of the bark, or, you know, you can make little fairies with the flowers. You know, so these kids are definitely connecting to what's around them, and they will bring that wherever they go.
That is awesome. So talk about your team.
I have a great team at One Forest, wonderful people. they all are, have had experiences as kids in nature, I think, and that's what makes them great at what they do now. working with children or working in the forest.
You can mention their names.
All right, let's see. I don't want to forget anybody.
Oh, okay.
We have Eric, who's a dad, and he grew up in Alaska, so that says a lot. And then there's Chloe, who's also a mother, and she is actually studying to be an herbalist right now, so that's exciting. And there's Tessa, who is just wonderful with children and just really is able to inspire wonder and awe in them. There's Kat, who's just fun and awesome and brings music and joy to the forest. And yeah, so that's the team right now. And we are, you know, I'm always open to interns and volunteers. So if anybody wants to get involved in One Forest, they can contact us through our website.
Yes, and that is oneforest.com, right?
Yeah, it's www.one-forest.com.
That's important. That's important, the dash, okay. Yeah, one-forest.com. And Wilderness First Aid, which you're certified, right?
Yes, yeah.
So what, I mean, why?
Well, safety is number one in my book, especially working with young children. You know, luckily we haven't had any need or for my wilderness first aid training.
Right.
But it's there, and I have the knowledge now to reset an arm or put an arm in a splint or a leg in a splint. You know, all this over the top kind of knowledge, in my opinion, for you know, what we're doing. But it's good to have that security that, you know, if something goes wrong, we know how to handle it, and we have action plans for emergencies in our forest. And I think that the parents also appreciate having somebody that's trained in wilderness first aid.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful trainer out of Charlottesville, actually. It's Matt, and he does solo wilderness first aid. And I think his website's solowfa.com. So if you're interested in wilderness first aid, you should definitely check him out. I have studied to be a lifeguard when I was growing up and a first responder. And, you know, I've completed all those trainings. And honestly, then I did the wilderness first aid with Matt. And, you know, I've done it a few times now to recertify. But he is the first instructor where I actually felt like I took away knowledge that I could use on the trail.
Wow. Oh, that's
so
really nice.
I highly recommend him.
Yeah, I was a lifeguard as well, so yeah. I had a little bit of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, so, you know, I just, this whole thing, folks, about getting that connection with nature, you're healthier.
Yes.
Probably less depression. All that sort of thing, right?
Yes.
Haven't you noticed that?
Yes, there's a, you know, postpartum depression in new mothers is a really big issue that a lot of people don't talk about because it's embarrassing.
Right.
But or it can be embarrassing. It shouldn't be embarrassing because it happens to almost everybody in some degree or another. And, you know, getting outside to a forest playgroup and meeting other mothers and you know, just being in fresh air and being able to observe the clouds and the trees and feel the dirt, you know, it sounds a little crazy, but trust me, it's very healing.
So I was, when I was looking at your website and your team, I think it's Eric, something about insects, he's always, you know, checking out the ants, that's part of it, right? Where the kids learn about you know, the little creatures.
Yeah, when we're in the forest, you know, the opportunity for learning is, they're endless opportunities. You know, a bug crawls by and the kid is in awe of this bug, this invertebrate, and we, you know, can observe it or collect it and then put it back where we found it. And we learn so much, and we always have guidebooks around if the children do have an interest in something, then they can delve deeper into it. It's definitely interest-led, child-led. There's right, a lot of different terms for it. But basically, you know, we're not forcing children to learn about invertebrates. They're finding them and wanting to learn about invertebrates. So.
Wow. Yeah. That and, of course, again, that's that connection back to nature, which we all, you know, we all have that.
Yes.
And so many of us don't take the time to do that. And so you're giving them a chance to get out there.
It's something you definitely need to schedule in.
Yeah, exactly.
In today's fast-paced world and technology, it's definitely, you know, put it in your calendar and get out there.
You can put that headset on all the way if you want. It looks like, oh, you should, okay.
I'm good. Thank you.
Holding the one ear.
I have a small head.
Well, so you'll never have to worry about getting the big head, right? You're listening to Your Health on WPVC 94.7 on your FM dial right here in Charlottesville, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm MC Blair. I'm talking with Heidi Reed of One Forest. And I was looking at your testimonials, and this one gal said, Heidi is the Mary Poppins of the forest. So,
well, instead of a teaspoon of sugar, it's a teaspoon of honey.
Okay? Oh, teaspoon. There you go.
Sugar in our woods.
No, absolutely not. Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely great. So you have a passion for planting and conserving the forest farm for future generations.
I mean, that's what it's all about, really. Yeah. These nut trees that I'm planting aren't for me, really. They're for my daughter and for her children. And if we can't plant and plan for our children and for even children we don't know many generations from now, then, you know, What are they going to do?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So you've got some upcoming events. Oh, you know, before that, I wanted to ask you to go more in detail of Forest Buds.
Mm.
That looked like a cool program. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so that's our drop-off program, and it happens twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. And you can go on our website if you would like to sign up for that. It's for ages 3 to 6. And we go out in the forest, and it's forest school, and we use tools and learn skills like fire lighting and go on nature walks and connect with nature and just have fun.
Yeah.
Play.
How many weeks is that?
That's 8 weeks long. So it's every Wednesday for 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a full Wednesday then, right? They drop them off in the morning and pick them up in the afternoon?
Yep. So it runs 9 to 1, but then there's an aftercare option if you are a family that needs later pickup time. Mm-hmm. So that's all
that's
on our website.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's and that's 1-forest.com, preceded by www.
Dot.
Dot, right, exactly. So what, you've got, are adults, do you have any actual adult programs?
We actually hosted a wilderness first aid course this year, which was really fun. And I'd love to expand our adult programs in the future. Right now, we're just focusing on the little ones.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good, darn good place to start. And I just, you know, call me crazy, but I think that with these playgroups, you know, pretty soon the parent or caregivers, after experiencing that a couple of three times, you know, maybe one of them will suggest something that would be good, and you can go from there.
And we're always open to suggestions.
Always evolving, always open to suggestions. Yeah, that is so cool. So what upcoming events do you have?
Well, on March 8th is our next Forest Playgroup, so that's one.
Yeah, darn right.
And our Forest Buds are full for the spring, but you can sign up for the fall.
For the fall,
yeah. And then we have a summer camp this summer, June 3rd through 7th, which is for preschool age children as well. And, you know, that's going to be really fun, just a full week in the woods.
Is that a drop-off?
That is a drop-off program as well, yes. And let's see, as far as other people's events that we'll be at, we're going to be at the Rockfish Valley Foundation's Kite Festival in Nellie's Ford. And I believe that is April 14th. Mm-hmm. You should definitely check it out. It's free. It's awesome. And yeah, I think that's pretty much our spring schedule thus far.
do you have a presence at the farmers market when it's open?
We don't, mainly because I really just enjoy the farmers market.
Oh, just going. Yeah, absolutely.
And we get to see a bunch of people we know and see the community that, you know, was created at the Forest Play Groups. And so, you know, it's great to support other farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. So you're listening to Your Health. I'm MC Blair. I'm talking with Heidi Reed of One Forest. And we will be back shortly. And we're back. This is MC Blair. You're listening to Your Health every Saturday from 11 till 12, right here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And I'm talking with Heidi Reed of One Forest. And you had something else you wanted to say.
Well, one of the other aspects of One Forest is getting everybody outside and trying to create access to the outdoors for people that wouldn't necessarily be able to be outside for various reasons. And one of the projects we're working on that we're hoping to launch this fall of this year is an outdoor gear lending library. And so we are collecting donations of gear and we are buying up gear to create this library and to create a subscription program. Just like you would go to a library to get books out, basically you'd buy a subscription to our lending library. And you could take out, you know, for example, three items at a time. Mm-hmm. So if your child doesn't have a snowsuit for the snow season and you can't afford one to go and play outside, then you could come and lend it from our library and be able to go on some outdoor adventures with your kid.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, we hope that we can get some donations to you know, really beef up the library and have a large selection. But yeah, it's one thing that we noticed that even, you know, really good mittens for babies, you know, they're really expensive. And if you have a baby, you're not going to use them for very long.
No.
So sometimes, you know, it's not worth that price for people. But if you could rent them for a very small fee, then, you know, you can get outside with your baby.
That's a great idea. Yeah, so then you do that, and then overall you're not spending as much as if you had gone out and bought a pair.
Yeah, and it's also fun because you can try different brands of outdoor gear as well, and if you fall in love with a brand or a certain item, then you can go and buy it if you can.
Oh, that's a great
idea.
You
know, so it helps in a few different ways.
So that's the outdoor gear lending library.
Yeah, OGLL.
Okay. Ogle.
Yes, Ogle. It's on our website as well, so definitely check that out.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I would never even think about that. I mean, you know, obviously you rent skis and ski boots and all that if you don't have those, but I've never thought about actual gear.
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at children's outdoor gear, it's quite expensive. The quality gear, you know, and sending kids out in not quality gear, they get cold and wet really quickly, and it's not fun. And if they're not comfortable in the outdoors, then they're not going to learn and they're not going to connect. They're going to want to go back inside.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get them geared up so that they want to be be comfortable and be able to run around in a forest in the middle of winter and stay there for hours and have a blast.
And have a blast. And connect. Of course, if you keep them dry, then Gore-Tex has to be in that formula somewhere.
Yeah. Sure. Well, my daughter was wearing a full-on rain suit and her rain boots, and in the middle of winter she was jumping up and down in our creek completely dry.
Man.
Totally loving it.
Oh yes.
If I could give that experience to every child
oh,
I would.
Yeah, where I grew up we had forest all around and a creek and all that, and which we actually dammed it up using the proper methods, you know. We didn't interrupt the flow or anything, and ended up doing a little swimming hole for, for us. And it was cool. Of course, it's all now concrete and steel. That creek is long gone, but, you know, it's 7 miles west of D.C., so you can imagine what it looks like now.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yes. I went up there for a reunion, and I just, oh, my God, I'm never coming back. It was, and you know, I felt sad because I had grown up in the forest. You know, you know, our house was kind of cut out of the forest and had it all around. And so I spent lots of time in the forest. So that's why when you said what you were doing, I said, man, I got to get you on here because, you know, folks, if, you know, we mainly talk about food and food is medicine and all that, but being out in, you know, learning things like what you're teaching, Heidi, about being in the forest and learning about all the little creatures, and you don't have to be afraid of them. Certain creatures you want to be wary of, you know.
We have respect
like a rattlesnake or, you know, water moccasin or copperhead. But you don't have to be afraid, but you want to be wary of certain. And also, I gather from what you said that these students and their parents will, you know, they will learn about what's out there and also be respectful of what's out there.
Yeah, I think fear is driving our society in many ways right now. And you know, all we have to do is get to know what we're afraid of, and then we just realize, you know, it's.
Face your fears.
Yeah, right? It's not something to fear, but something to work with. And,
sure.
And, you know, those issues that we have are all just opportunities. So.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Do you have, just out of the blue, possibly an example of maybe a child, maybe even the parent of the child, being fearful? And you could tell that they were nervous and, you know, that type of thing, and maybe it turned around, maybe haven't. I don't know. I just thought I'd ask that question.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think right now of the best example.
I think that you may find...
you
got
me on the spot here.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to do that.
I guess poison ivy, you know?
Okay.
Poison ivy is a common fear. Actually, you know what? I'm going to switch it up.
Okay.
I'm going to say ticks.
Ah.
Many, many people are afraid of ticks.
Sure.
And, you know, there is reason to be worried about ticks because they do carry these crazy diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote an article, actually, and posted it on my Facebook page, One Forest Facebook page. So you can definitely go back and reference it if you want. But basically, it's, you know, you just get to know the ticks, and there's a great ID that you can see, and if you go out into nature, you shouldn't be stopped by ticks. You should go out, and you should wear long pants and long sleeves is the best to protect from your skin getting ticks on them, and you should always check yourself after you're in the woods.
Yeah.
And if you find ticks, then what I suggest is you take them off and you put them on a clear piece of tape. And I know I'm going to sound crazy right now, but, and then you get to observe that tick with your kids. And I had one family do this and they were very afraid of ticks and they found a tick on them and they got to observe it, and then their kid wanted to identify what kind of tick it was and learn all about ticks. And so this fear, you know, instead of saying, no, we're not going to go outside, there's ticks outside, mm-hmm. you know, being able to face your fear and have it give you opportunity of learning and delving deeper into arachnids, which are what ticks are actually.
Funny little spiders.
Yeah, it's okay to be outside, mm-hmm. and it's okay to face those fears, and it's okay to be afraid too. Like, you don't have to be brave all the time, and you don't have to be brave in front of your kids all the time either. It's good for them to know how you handle things. Mm-hmm. No, that's how they learn. So.
Oh yeah, you know, what is it? The Simon and Garfunkel songs, "Teach Your Parents Well." Right? Yeah, it talked about teaching the children, and then what happens is that the kids become, you know, the parent to the parent, you know, because yeah. You know, as they get older.
Well, I think that too. You know, a lot of us have these wonderful experiences. Mm-hmm. In nature as kids, and then as we get older, we kind of forget that we need those experiences. And so having a young child and coming out into one forest and getting to reconnect with nature is so great for the parents, and I love to see that happen.
Oh, I bet. And I don't know if you've had it already, but I'm sure as this progresses and matures and evolves, you'll probably start getting more urban, you know, people out there.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, maybe even some sort of, you know, transportation. You know, never know. Swing by, pick them up.
Well, we always promote carpooling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I think it would be really great. You know, at some point, maybe even have a presence at the, you know, Charlottesville City Market.
Mm, that's a great idea.
When you get and then you would be able to do that. Also. You know, getting possibly talking to people at City Schoolyard Gardens, and maybe even have a program to where a field trip, right?
Yeah.
And they could come out there, and then you would have urban kids.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then, of course.
Well, we're always open, you know, if teachers
yeah.
or just. Homeschool groups or anything want a tour of the forest and want a. Special day in one forest, we are definitely open to that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so I'll even mention it to Robert over there or Jeanette, City Schoolyard Gardens, and maybe they can arrange something with you guys, because I think that would be a wonderful field trip.
Yeah,
you know, during the spring, you know, and come out there and check it all out, and, you know, get exposed.
Yeah.
To the forest, because I love the forest, and I'm so glad that you are doing what you're doing, Heidi.
Mm, thank you, Mike.
When you first told me, I said, oh my gosh, this is great. And I've been trying to get her on here for about 2 years now. she's always in, you know, China or London or something, you know?
Well, I have to keep my soul nourished, and
yeah,
and part of that is connecting with forests all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know, one forest is one forest in Nelson County, but also it's that there is one forest that goes across the globe, whether it's forest of kelp under the sea, mm-hmm. or forest of cacti in the desert. We are all connected, and that's what I want to bring.
That is
with
so
one
true.
Forest.
That is so true, and you know, I hired Heidi a couple of times, in three or four times actually, when I was a caterer, and you know, I want to toot your horn a little bit for you, because folks, this gal was the most organized person. And I'm sure that is, you know, you can read that in one forest as well. I'm sure that shows. But I was kind of running around at one point, and, you know, getting a little stressed. And Heidi just said, Mike, we got it.
go home.
and I came back the next day, and everything was so neat, and everything was put in its place. And so, thank you for that. But
you're welcome.
The reason I mentioned that is because that's who she is, folks. That's who she is. And she, I'm sure, has that reads right into this, to One Forest. And the people are very fortunate, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the preschool kids and the moms and the dads that come out there, they're real fortunate to have somebody like you doing this, and because it's your passion.
Well, thank you, Mike. I am the fortunate one to be able to meet all these wonderful families. So honestly, the families that come out are so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for you to have me here today.
Oh, thank you, Heidi.
Great to reconnect after all these years.
Yeah, it has been. And I finished each show. I call it a 2-minute drill. It does take a little longer than that. But this one is especially close to me. I say, let's face it, our survival as a species depends on three basic needs being met, right? We need clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and clean food to eat. It goes without saying, if we breathe dirty air, our lungs are going to suffer, and our resources will be spent trying to heal them. However, if the air is still polluted, it's like trying to catch your shadow. The water we drink and the food we eat should also be clean and free from poisons, carcinogen, and other pollutants. If not, we get sick and fat and spend many dollars trying to get well. Unfortunately, clean air, clean water, and clean food is not a priority of the powers running our food and health systems. Yes, if you ask the individuals face-to-face, they'll say, oh, clean air, clean water, and clean food is important. But then they'll go back to work, and it's business as usual, resulting in the opposite. So I need to add clean soil to this list, because clean food is not possible without it. Now, changing the national food and health systems, well, that can happen, but it starts at home by changing one community at a time. That's what you do. And we here in Charlottesville and the surrounding counties have the land. With a concerted community effort, we can achieve food security. The combined city schoolyard gardens, Unified Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, One Forest, should be an example to all of us that through education and hands-on experience, eating habits can be changed to a more healthy diet, leading to less obesity, a healthier brain, and a general feeling of well-being. And that's what, the people that go to your organization, One Forest, they have a general feeling of well-being when they're through, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they do.
Yes. And so fewer resources will be spent on health care. And because our children will be working beside others from different cultures and skin colors, over time, it will result in citizens who are not only healthier, but who tend to get along. There's a, can we all just get along? Well, yes, we can. Now, I want to thank Heidi Reed from One Forest. Thanks to your hard work and dedication to educating children and their parents. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks so much for having me here today.
Oh, my pleasure. And thanks for listening, folks. And remember, communities working together towards food security and social acceptance are keys to your health.
You've been listening to Your Health with your host, MC Blair. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on Downtown Mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Be listening again next Saturday morning at 11 for To Your Health.